From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we'll continue the series of studies of the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes, but first we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Gracious Dealing. The text is Deuteronomy 15, verse 18. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. An Israelitish master was to give his bondservant liberty in due time. And when he left his service, he was to start him in life with a liberal portion. This was to be done heartily and cheerfully. And then the Lord promised to bless the generous act. The spirit of this precept, and indeed the whole law of Christ, binds us to treat work people well. We ought to remember how the Lord has dealt with us, and that this renders it absolutely needful that we should deal graciously with others. It becomes those to be generous who are the children of a gracious God. How can we expect our great master to bless us in our business if we oppress those who serve us? What a benediction is here set before the liberal mind. To be blessed in all that we do is to be blessed indeed. The Lord will send us this partly in prosperity, partly in content of mind, and partly in a sense of His favor, which is the best of all blessings. He can make us feel that we are under His special care and are surrounded by His peculiar love. This makes this earthly life a joyous prelude to the life to come. God's blessing is more than a fortune. It maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow therewith.
Son of me.
your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he approaches the conclusion of this series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit, Dr. Cairns turns to ways in which Christians can sin against the Holy Ghost. There are three texts for the message, Acts chapter 5, verse 9, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. These verses are among many others which caution believers against sins against the Spirit. In the message entitled, Tempting, Grieving, and Quenching the Spirit, Dr. Cairns warns the people of God never to take the things of God for granted or to become careless about them. Now Dr. Cairns commences this message, Tempting, Grieving, and Quenching the Spirit.
This money that was coming in was to enable the work of God to go forward and keep going forward to meet the needs of the people of God in all their different personal necessities as well as the collective needs of the whole body. And by the action of Ananias and Sapphira, the church was being robbed. The individual believers were being robbed. The whole work of God, to some degree, was being hurt. The Spirit of God was jealous for this sphere of His operation. This is why their sin is called lying, not to man, but to God, the Holy Spirit, and tempting the Spirit of God. It was not a sin of ignorance. It was not a sin that one would just slide into. It was a sin not even of words, but a sin of deep purpose and a sin of deliberate action. And very clearly it called forth the judgment of God. It was tempting the Spirit of God, tempting Him to judgment, tempting Him to swift retribution. Now that should tell us something that every Christian needs to hear.
I'm going to leave aside this morning the entire question as to whether Ananias and Sapphira could ever have been saved. I'm going to leave that aside, for Peter doesn't pick it up here at all. They were certainly in the church. They were in the church when the church was at its zenith. They were in the church in the midst of the greatest revival that God has ever sent to the earth. They were in the church when the Holy Spirit was more clearly manifesting the fullness of His miraculous power than at any other time, even in the New Testament period. They were there when heaven came down to earth. So whether they were saved or whether they weren't, we leave aside. And we learn this. It is a fact that in the very best of churches, under the very best of circumstances, with the greatest possible incentives to do right, there are some who bear the name of Christ and they are guilty of crass hypocrisy. We can see them here in Acts 5, and we will have them in every age of the church's life. Now, God hates hypocrisy. He hates hypocrisy. He says, if you're a hypocrite in the church, if you're making a fair pretense to men, if you're making a verbal profession before men, but your heart is in the darkness of rebellion against God, you're a liar to your God. A liar to God. You tempt His Spirit to move with speedy vengeance. We ought to learn that hypocrisy is a great evil that God hates. But more than that, every Christian should learn from this the great sin of sapping the energy of the Church of Christ and destroying to some extent its usefulness. That's a sin against the Holy Ghost. We ought to mark here the very close identification of the Holy Spirit and the church, so that when you destroy the inner purity of the church, when you hurt the witness of the church, when you sap the energy of the church, when you introduce alien forces into the church, you are not merely sinning against a pastor and an elders board and the congregation, but, says Acts 5, you are sinning against the Holy Ghost. Because God, the Holy Spirit, is not an American individualist. And I use those words very carefully. If I were in Britain, I would put it another way, but I'm not in Britain. I'm preaching to Americans. The hallmark of so much that goes under the name of Christianity today is the great individual, the great evangelist, the great communicator, the great this, the great that, and it's man, the individualist. God, the Holy Spirit, is not such an one. Now, He uses individuals peculiarly, in a great way. But I want to tell you this. And I'm not wanting to, in any way, hurt your sensibilities, or I'm not wanting in any way to digress. But it's something that's peculiarly difficult for Americans, especially American fundamentalists, to understand. With all the social and political and historical emphasis on independence, and I have no criticism for that in its political and social implications. It is difficult for American believers to understand that God, the Holy Spirit, is not wedded to this individualistic, independent attitude. God, the Holy Spirit, identifies His action peculiarly with His church. We're not just a bunch of individuals running in different directions. Church of Jesus Christ, as I read this Bible, is the great vehicle through which the Holy Spirit operates. And I tell you, be it this preacher, or one of his elders, or one of his deacons, or one of his people, be it whoever it may, if we would dare to rob the Church of Christ of its energy for God's service, if we would introduce into it that which would destroy its usefulness, oppose its work and oppose its witness, by word or by action, we are sinning against the Holy Ghost. It's a serious thing, this. The consequences are serious. They're serious for the church. If God doesn't step in to remove such a cancer, it'll destroy the church in its local expression here anyway. And if God were to save the church from that, then for the individual who's either chastening or removal, there is a sin unto death. You couldn't read the story of Ananias and Sapphira and not realize it. I know men, and I believe God snuffed out their lives because, as Christians, their testimony was bringing great dishonor to Jesus Christ and was blighting, blighting the whole witness of the church. It's chastening or removal. God, the Holy Spirit, will protect the instrument which God has decreed as the vehicle of His blessing, communicating the gospel of Christ until He has fulfilled His purpose. Tempting the Holy Spirit. I wonder, my friend, this morning, where you stand in this. I wonder about the reality of your spiritual profession. God only knows that. Nobody looking at Ananias and Sapphira knew they were one whit different from anybody else up until this point. I look out in this congregation this morning, I can't see your heart, neither can you see mine. But God sees them both. I wonder where you stand in this regard this morning. What about your profession? Is it just fair words? Backed up by a mass of corrupting hypocrisy? Or is it the real thing? Does it ring true with God? Oh, I trust you'll examine your heart in this. Your hypocrisy is tempting the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4, we have the second of these three sins. It's grieving the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm only dealing with the first part of the text because I have already, in a former study, preached on the sealing of the Spirit. But he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It's imperative that we understand that these words form the climax of a prolonged argument for Christian holiness. We can break in at verse 25. Verse 24 ends up speaking of true holiness. Wherefore? Now let's get that. A man who's saved is created in righteousness. That is justification. Aye, but he's also created in true holiness. That is sanctification. It's not complete. Oh, in this life we are not sinless. But I want to tell you, every man who is saved receives true holiness. No sham. This is the very opposite to what we have been talking about in Acts 5. This is not the mere profession. This is not the mere thee and show. This is true holiness. Wherefore, if you're really saved, if you've really got true holiness, then these are the things that are going to follow. Wherefore, putting away lying. Now we have a whole list of things. Look at them very quickly. Because these are the things that grieve the Spirit. Put away lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. I want to tell you, my friend, when Christians are found to be liars, it is grieving to the Holy Spirit. I know from personal experience, when I find a Christian to be a liar, it destroys my confidence in that man. I remember a preacher many years ago, and he could make many fair statements. He's still preaching to this day. And people accept him as a very nice and good and gracious and great man. And I just leave him to God, and I trust that he's a lot better than I give him credit for. Because I can never forget the time, and he has never come to apologize. But I can never forget the time when he was in a critical situation. And I stood and I watched him lie and lie and lie again. And ever since, in my mind, every time that preacher's name comes up, there it is. That man stood on a solemn occasion. And he didn't make a mistake. He didn't forget a fact. He just went down the line spinning a story that was to save his skin. And it was lies, a tissue of lies from first to last. Now God can forgive that. And as I say, I trust the man is in a much better condition than I'm giving him credit for. God can forgive it. All I know is that never to my knowledge did he ever acknowledge and repent and confess those lies to the people to whom he made them. My, how grieving to God the Holy Ghost. When those who are indwelt by the Spirit of truth are into the liars. And there's nothing that excuses it. Nothing excuses that. I'm not going to get into the knotty areas about should a Christian ever be in counter espionage or espionage, is it ever right for him to deceive an enemy? Those are moral philosophy problems that and ethics problems that you and I are not going to face, and I'm not getting into the abstract. We face the concrete situation. Broadly, I say this to you, it's never right to be a liar just to enhance your job.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.